All right. Well, let's get started then, shall we?
Yeah.
Good evening, church. Remnant, tonight we were deeply impacted by last week's message from Pastor Devin and Pastor Landon to not tolerate the things that are stealing our devotion. We began to set our gaze on him again, and we began to be satisfied by him once again.
Yeah.
Satisfied to the point where it was literally like honey on our lips. And so the reason we're passing that out is because just as the Lord had spoken to us and it was sweet to us, we want to transfer that impact to you guys as it was just as sweet. The Lord wants to renew our perspective of him tonight. He wants us to cling to him once again and renew our taste buds for the sweetness of his love. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Let's get into it.
In last week's sermon, we learned that if we do not cling to him with fervent devotion, then many things will try to cling to us. And if we cling to him, he will give us the nations as our inheritance. Tonight we will learn what it means to cling to him in righteousness and in joy and in the Holy Spirit. Tonight's message will be titled, Cling to Him. Somebody say, cling to him.
Cling to him.
The opening scripture we're going to start with is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Turn with us there as we dive right into the scriptures. In verse 16, it says, so from now on, we do not look at anyone from a worldly viewpoint. And again, I want to paraphrase here. I'm reading in the CJB. Even if we once regarded the Messiah from a worldly viewpoint, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is united with the Messiah, he is a new creation. Somebody say, new creation.
New creation.
The old has passed. Look over there. What has come is fresh and new. If anyone is united, if anyone is connected, if anyone is glued to the Messiah, something has changed inside of them. What has come is completely new. It does not even resemble what was, but something fresh entirely. What has died has been buried, and what has been buried has produced something new. New life sprung forth from the believer. If anyone is glued, if he's clinging to the Messiah, the old things go away and the new comes. We read of an example in Genesis chapter 19. If you would turn with us there.
Say cling to him when you get there.
We read about a story of God's miraculous deliverance, a similar type of deliverance that God has performed in your life. We read about Lot's wife in verse 23. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Notice the detail in this verse. That all the vegetation in the land had been destroyed. There was nothing, somebody say nothing.
Nothing.
To return back to. In our case, there is nothing left for the man who is born again to return to. His past self has been buried, and something new is sprouting forth. Something fresh, something full of vegetation, Your past self is dead, and something new, fresh, is coming to life.
Amen.
That place, that person that you left, that thing, the possession, whatever it is, whatever in the past must remain dead, and something fresh must sprout forth. Though God had done miraculous things for Lot's wife, even making it out of the city, she chose to look back to what was already dead, and so died in the process. You must remain dead and allow God to produce something new in you. Something fresh, something that doesn't even resemble what was. If anyone is united, if anyone is glued, if anyone is in unity with Christ, then something fresh and new is happening inside. God does not want that new growth in you to resemble in any way the dead life that you were rescued from. He wants it to be something fresh. And this is why he rains down sulfur and fire. Something that cannot be recouped or recuperated. We read this in Hebrews chapter 11 in the CJB in verse 15. Now if they were to keep recalling the one they left, they would have an opportunity to return. But as it is, they aspire to a better fatherland, a heavenly one. This is why God is not ashamed to be called their God.
Amen.
For he has prepared for them a city. As they keep recalling the one they left, their opportunity will keep growing to return. God did this. He left this opportunity for you. Because he gave you free will. He gave you the choice of life and death. To go back to a land that has no vegetation for you. It has no growth, no life, no ability to save you or to provide for you. He gave you the choice so that you would choose him. Do not use this free choice to return back, because there's nothing left for you there. There's no vegetation left. The city is toast. We see in Lot's instance, or in Lot's wife's instance, she was looking for love in the wrong places. Now for us, as we preach this message, it would be very, very easy to talk about all the wrong places. In fact, this is what we often lean towards. But let me tell you, you know them all too well. Some would even say that you know them way too well. And so you have grown to accommodate and tolerate them and cuddle with them. You're so well acquainted with all the wrong places, you don't know where to go next. Inside of this, I would say most of our body is motivated to pursue God, to pursue a better fatherland because of these things. I am a screw up. I don't want to go back. I hate the things that I do. When you're thinking about your motivations, it's so easy to slip into those gears. To cut yourself enough that you feel something. Those can be true. But there is a better and more lasting way. There is a better opportunity. There is a better fatherland in store for us than what's in Sodom and Gomorrah, for that place has no vegetation for you. In fact, the flesh counts for nothing. In Romans chapter 14, verse 7, we read about this better way. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! If you make these things matters of the flesh, matters of eating and drinking, the only subject matter that counts, you will remain in that place. You will remain there in a dead land where there is no vegetation for you, where you're spinning in circles. And in the process of being consumed by eating and drinking and the matters of the flesh, you miss out on righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Anyone who is truly united with Him in a holy matrimony, in a union that cannot be broken, something fresh and new is sprouting up from inside them. Things of the Spirit and of life and of joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. This can be a convicting word for me. In my life, there are really three main things that make me hungry for Him. It can be my sin and my depravity. Or it can be tasting that He is good and that He's worthy. Or it can be feeding others that which is good. All these things make me hungry inside. Breaking down each one of these, if I remain hungry for him, from a place of sin, then to sin will I return so I can get back to Him. There's a lot of words you could use there. I'll just say that's dumb. Let's be honest, many of us remain in that place. We remain in a place of going back to sin to get back to Him. And that is not what God gave you freedom for. But in objection to that, if I proactively tend to my hunger for Him by tasting of Him, then to Him alone will I return. And I will consistently, constantly return to Him. Because I know where the source of life comes from. And if I feed my hunger by that which is good, I will not be hungry anymore. And I will then have plenty to give away to others because I'm satisfied. This means that the state of my union with God is not based off of me, but it is based off of Him. And He's always good. And He always satisfies. Whether in sickness or in health. You guys know those words. Our unity is based upon His character, His merit, not mine. And inside of that union, inside of that clinging, something fresh, something full of life begins to grow from inside of me. What was dead and salted is dead and salted. But what comes out of there, something new is birthed inside. The land that you came from has nothing to give you. But what God has planted inside of you will grow into something fresh and new. The one who is unified with Him will never be the same.
Saints, turn with us to Psalms 34 and say, cling to him when you get there. There's no better way to live for the Lord rather than looking at him. And Psalm 34 does a very good job of describing and explaining how to walk with the Lord. Because it starts off the saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me tonight, remnant.
Yeah.
Let us exalt his name together. Your mouth will either speak of life or it's going to speak of death. It cannot be one. It cannot be both. It has to be one or the other. But tonight, we are choosing to use our mouth and our words to speak life, to give him praise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The praises that he deserves. Amen?
Amen?
Verse 4 says that I sought the Lord, and he answered me.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
That you can seek his face, you can pause, and he'll actually incline his ear to you. He's busy with many things. He's the God of the entire universe, but he's got time for you. He's got all the time because he's outside of time. And yet he's willing to always incline his ear for you to hear him. I sought the Lord and he answered me.
Amen.
And delivered me from all of my fears.
Woo.
Those who look to him are radiant.
Oh, yeah.
And their faces shall never be ashamed.
Yeah.
Are you returning to your dead things by returning to the fear and the intimidation? Parents, are you feeling the fear and the intimidation of being a father and a mother? Those things are dead. You have all that you need.
They're dead.
Husbands, are you feeling the intimidation and the fear of leading your wives correctly, or wives submitting to your husband as he follows Christ? Are you intimidated by that? Are you fearful that they'll get it wrong, or vice versa, that husbands, you'll get it wrong and you'll mess up?
Yeah.
Are you fearful of that and intimidated by it? Are you fearful of your constant insecurities that feel like you're going around the mountain time and time again thinking, God, I thought we dealt with this already. That fear creeps in of saying, what's the point of doing it? What's the point of going around that mountain again, Lord? Well, I thought we've already dealt with that, so it's just going to keep coming up again.
Wow.
Intimidation comes seeking to devour you. But the truth is that when you seek his face, it says that you are made radiant.
Yeah.
As he is radiant. And fear and intimidation have no place in the presence of God. His presence expels these things and makes you radiant. The Bible describes the Lord as brighter than the sun in all of its radiance.
Let's go.
The light exposes darkness. And there's nothing that can stand in that. In fact, it's so depicted all the time that when someone stood in the presence of the God in all of his glory, they couldn't help but fall face on the ground as if they were dead.
Yeah.
Because he was so radiant with glory.
Yeah.
And power. And yet when we seek him, just like Moses was when he came off of Mount Sinai and he was radiating, so you get to do the same thing. That you get the sin, the fear, the intimidation exposed and destroyed in your life because that is the old man.
Yeah.
That's dead. That's not who you are.
Yeah.
But you guys are alive in Christ and you guys get to walk in confidence and boldness in the Lord, putting to death those things and not picking them back up again.
Yeah.
Verse 6 says, the poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles.
All of them.
There is nothing that you have gone through that the Lord cannot save you from.
Amen.
If anyone is a testimony of that, it'd be I. There is no insecurity too great that the Lord cannot make you secure in. And he would deliver you from all of your bondage. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And then he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Saints, blessed is the man who take refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack.
Yeah.
They lack no good thing, but they have everything they need to accomplish this walk of life. You are filled with the presence of God, and He has given you everything to walk it out. So do not give into the intimidation. Do not give into the fear, which is the lie of the enemy. You were never designed to set your eyes on those things or anything else or anyone else other than the Lord and Him first. Do not tolerate the things that are stealing these devotions from you. When you're allowing fear to creep in, it's because you're lacking the true love. Jezebel seeks to steal your attention, to take your eyes off of the Lord and His goodness, and try to set you on something else that looks good and satisfying. She will make a beautiful bed with the luxuries of life and the satisfaction of this world, but her bed only leads to the grave. It leads to death, and it comes in the simplest forms as fear, as intimidation, as insecurities, because it takes your eyes off of the Lord. You were made in His image, and when you start questioning it, you're actually questioning the Lord. If you are not clinging to God, then Jezebel's clinging to you. There's no in between. You're either in the light in the kingdom of God, or you're in the darkness in the kingdom of Satan. There's no fence in the kingdom of God. So if you're clinging to the Lord, then Satan has no place. But if you're not clinging to Him, then guess what? You're opening the door wide. Your eyes must be set like flint upon the Lord. You must be immovable, saints, locked in. Do not look to the right or to the left, but taste and see that the Lord is good. Hold fast to Him, and you will have life that is satisfying and fulfilling all of your days. I've tasted and seen many things of the world, and I can tell you every time I am left empty and unsatisfied. It's like going to McDonald's for a meal versus going to a restaurant.
That's tough, bro.
Right? It's temporarily satisfying until you go to the bathroom later. But when you go to a good restaurant that's actually healthy, that'll actually satisfy you and actually give you good things for your body, it takes time to grow and eat. It takes time to sit there and wait for them to make it. Is that not the kingdom of God? It's not a sprint in the kingdom. It's a marathon. It's a journey. And it takes time. But when your eyes and faithfulness over time is set on Him and you're immovable in the Lord, then you will be satisfied.
Amen.
And I can promise you that. There is nothing else that satisfies more than Him. Turn with us to Deuteronomy 13:4 and say, cling to Him when you get there. I'm loving it.
We read in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. And you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him.
Amen.
Reading this word on Sunday, we come to understand that this word is debach.
Debach.
Meaning to cling to join with in union, to stay with. It is used of something sticking to or clinging to something else. You shall walk after the Lord your God, fear Him and keep His commands. Serve the Lord and cling to Him. Be in unity, in union with Him. In fact, the verb even means a permanent union. What is this union really joined around as we're talking about? It's centered around Him. Taste and see that He is good. This union is not based off of our merit. Many hear this first as, when I am in complete ruin, then I will cling to Him by my chinny chin chin. And I will barely hold on. That's what you think of when you read cling to Him.
That's good.
Does anybody feel that?
Yeah.
I'm just like clinging to Him barely. Yeah. But then when you hear to be in union with him, it feels a little different, doesn't it? And what happens in this instance, if you're not feeling in complete ruin, but you feel that you're doing well, we completely forget to debauch him. We completely forget to be in union with him. We do well to remember that the covenant terms were based on his merit and not yours. For as is said in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, at just the right time, when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly.
Hallelujah.
The union was not started on your merit, and it will not finish on yours. Instead, no, we are to put away the dead man and his dead practices. Forget about the past, whether your accomplishments or your failures, and cling to him. Debauch to him and to his covenant love in righteousness and in joy of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You've cuddled up. You've become friendly with your dead man for too long. For what is dead, and there is no life in that place. When you have tasted of something good, you want more of him. And when you taste of something dead, you want to quit. But when you taste of him, you want to keep going. You want to pursue him more. You want to know him deeper. When you found a good restaurant, you keep going back.
Even if you got to drive an hour to get there, I'll still drive back to get there.
To debauch is to cling to him. Not to cling to your reputation. Not to cling to anything else. It's to cling to him. So stop thinking about yourself so much. We're going to read about what Jesus thinks about this in John chapter 6. Jesus speaks that the flesh counts for nothing and can do nothing for you. Only what matters is that you would taste what's truly food. We read this in verse 53 of John chapter 6. So Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my body is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread your fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forevermore." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said these next verses. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? This message is offensive because it does require you to let go of your dead man.
Yeah.
It does require you to stop getting your motivations from your dead man. It does cause you to give up your fake bread you've been tolerating in your homes." We read this in verse 62. "Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life." The ESV says, "The flesh is no help at all." I like that translation. It is the Spirit and the Spirit alone that gives you life, not the mutilation of the flesh. In fact, Jesus says, my words are full, abundantly overflowing with life. They're overflowing with life, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Then it goes on to say, yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. The flesh counts for nothing. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12, and Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The flesh counts for nothing. This is our response today. When we cling to him, we're clinging to his goodness. We're clinging on to his merit and his righteousness. Your flesh is no help to you at all. What dies must produce something completely fresh and completely new.
To whom will you go, saints? Only Jesus has the words of life, and only Jesus can satisfy and fill the empty pit that's within. Jesus will give you bread and water that will satisfy more than any human bread or water can give. Have you guys ever gotten to a point where your body was dehydrated?
I think I am now.
I forgot my water bottle this morning, so I am too. So right now for me. But there's a point, I don't know if you guys have gotten there, but for me, there's moments in my life where I get so dehydrated where you get that cotton mouth and your mouth is like, right? And it's dry. And it's annoying. And when I have a Coke, when I have sweet tea, when I have something else, it doesn't satisfy.
Yeah.
Even having a Gatorade sometimes when I'm that dehydrated, I'm like, I've got to get some water.
Yeah.
How much more, if your physical bodies need water, do your spirit need living water? You cannot allow your spirit man that's within you to go dehydrated. You have to keep allowing it to be filled up by setting your face upon the Lord. And yet, even the life-giving water satisfies better than Fiji water. It satisfies more than Liquid Death or Topo Chico.
Oh, say that.
But he satisfies.
Thank you, brother.
He really satisfies.
Sometimes your spirit man is just like that whenever you're dehydrated. You're panting like a dog, desperate for the taste of water. And when you taste nothing other than water, it leaves you only wanting one thing. And that's him. How much greater is the water of Jesus? Oh, taste and see, and you will be left with satisfaction for the rest of your life. Drink of him every day, saints, because you cannot allow your spirit man to become dehydrated. It is even more crucial that you are being filled up with the spirit than the water of the natural body. Oh, taste and see tonight, and you will recognize that you need him more than the very breath in your lungs and the blood in your veins. Did you hear me? You need Jesus more than the breath that you breathe every day. You need him more than the very blood that's running through your veins that keeps you alive. In fact, I would even, he is the blood running through your veins. He is the ruach that you're breathing every day. And you need him absolutely necessary to have him. There is nothing of this world that satisfies. And you must set your face like flint on him again. You must seek him and debauch and cling to the Lord again and crucify the dead man. Do not pick it back up. You have resurrection power.
Yeah.
So it's easy to turn back and to look up and to raise the very thing that you once killed. But the Lord did not give you that power to resurrect your dead man. He gave you that power to resurrect life, to give you life.
Yeah.
Psalms 34:8 says that taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him.
As we're about to read these scriptures, we're going to read about just how good he is. But we wanted to give you guys the example that the Bible gives. And so we handed out to you honey sticks. This is supposed to be a representation of what the Lord tastes like. So go ahead and eat it.
Does anybody have an extra stick? I couldn't see it.
Now, we may have got some weird flavors, but it's still good.
We couldn't find the regular, so we went... Just taste and see. It's all part of the surprise.
We read in Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is not to be a concept in your head, but it's to be something that you experience. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 14 says, know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off.
Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, God.
Yeah.
Sweeter than the very honey to my mouth.
That cinnamon's kind of spicy, I think. Psalm 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb.
Are you guys getting the picture yet?
Yes.
That just as sweet as this honey is, so the Lord is sweet to you. That when you have tasted honey, it's sweet and it's satisfying. There's something about it that makes you want more. And how much more is the Lord when you have tasted and seen of him? Wanting more and more of him. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 7. We want you guys to read these along with us. Starting in verse 1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. Guys, did you see that? He starts off with saying, for the Lord himself is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. The God of all gods, over all benign Elohim. The Lord of all lords. The one who does great wonders on the earth. Who made the heavens. Who made the waters and the great lights. The one who spoke these things into existence. And the one who got down in the dirt in his hands and his knees and formed you. That's the love, the God who endures forever. Saints, don't you know that just like the potter, whenever he's making the clay, that he leaves an imprint within the clay? You have the very image and imprint of God within your very bodies. You are made and created in his image. He fashioned and formed you within your mother's womb. That's the kind of love, the steadfastness that endures forever.
Now let me ask you, when we began to do that all together, When you began to set your eyes on him, was there not something inside of you beginning to rise? When you get your eyes off of yourself and you put it on him, you can see why they practice these things morning by morning at the dinner table when they went to bed. Constantly. Because it is producing in you the life that God wants. Remember, our word is debak, to join with union, sticking close to or clinging to someone. To debak to the Lord is to continually taste and see of that type of goodness.
Amen.
The life that is birthed within you. What it means to join with him is to glue yourself to his goodness in permanent union. As Pastor Devin said on Sunday, if we are not those who cling to God, you will find that many things try to cling to you. We must take hold of the promises of God, lest we be found compromised in the call. We must be found joined together in permanent union with the Messiah, our Lord. We must be found debaking to his goodness. We must be found continually tasting that he is good. When you taste something good, you want more. And you want it to stay with you. I will show you guys how I want to permanently join myself in union with him.
You know, the beautiful thing about honey is that it doesn't just taste good, but it's also very sticky. So we talked about tonight to debak to the Lord is to cling to him. And so tonight, we're going to cling to the Lord.
Amen. Put that on me. Yeah.
You want to stand on that?
I want to join with him in permanent union. So permanent, it sticks to me. It runs down me and no one... but can't help but stare. It's a little sticky.
Have you guys ever tried to just wipe honey off and you go to put your elbow back on the table and you're like, dang it, it's still there. That's because it clings. And so the same way we're supposed to cling to the Lord. We're supposed to taste and see that the Lord is good and to debak to the Lord.
Yes.
Isaiah 43:18 says that remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing.
Amen.
Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and in rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the deserts to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I formed for myself that they might declare his praise. Yet you did not call upon me, O Jacob, but you have been weary of me, O Israel. Do not grow weary of seeking the face of God. It is in the place of seeking him that you will actually find the very rest that you need for your souls.
Mm.
When we were talking about this, I was reminded of a vision that the Lord gave me when I was at CFNI. And I was in a really, really hard time in my life. In fact, it was probably one of the hardest moments I've had to go through with the Lord. It was 9 months of what felt like pure hell. But I did not take my face and my eyes off of Jesus. And in the midst of it, I remember I was sitting in my room and I was laying there. The pain that I was feeling it became less of an emotional feeling and it became a physical feeling to the point where I didn't have the strength to stand anymore. Have you guys ever had that?
Yeah.
Where you were hurting so deeply within your soul that you couldn't get off the floor.
Yeah.
That was me. And I'm sitting there, and I'm crying out to God, and I'm weeping, God, help me! And immediately, he takes me into a vision. And it's the Lord, he's standing before me. I can't see his face. All I see is the radiance and the glory of him. We just talked about his radiance. But I did see the white robe and the bronze on his skin and the golden sash. And he reaches out his hand and he says, Caleb, I have all that you need. I can give you the strength that you need, but I cannot do it for you.
That's a good word.
And he reaches out his hand. He says, I'm right here, but you got to take the first step. And in that vision, I look up and I grab his hand, and immediately I was filled with the empowerment and strength of the Holy Spirit, and I was able to stand. It didn't mean that I wasn't in pain, and it didn't mean that I wasn't still suffering, but it did mean that I had everything I needed in that moment to get up and to keep going.
Yeah.
Because I chose to debauch and to set my face on the Lord. I did not allow my circumstance and the thing that the Lord was trying to crucify within me to steal my devotion. I didn't allow the spirit of Jezebel to come in and make me look at every other thing. But I kept my eyes steadfast. And in the midst of that, he showed up in a way that I never expected him to. In a way that was exceedingly abundantly above anything that I've ever prayed for and asked for. And he does it time and time and time again. There is nothing too great for the Lord, and he is only one step away from you. He is only arm's length, and all you have to do is grab hold. But he will not make you pursue him. You must make the choice. It has to be your choice. But in that choice, I promise you, he will satisfy you. Because he will restore your soul and cause you to come alive again. If all the promises in the Bible all have an if you seek him and obey his commands. Yeah. If you debauch, you cling to him. In those moments, I'm always reminding myself of this, that because of his faithfulness in my past, I have hope for the future.
Amen.
And I have faith right now. Amen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. If you could see what was to come, if you could see the strength that he was going to give you, then it wouldn't be faith. Because the definition of faith is strength, or not strength, it's trust.
Yeah.
You have to trust.
Yeah.
And so tonight, we want to return back to the place of setting our eyes on him again. Come back to the place of clinging and debauching to the Lord and allowing us to taste and see that he is good, to be satisfied and filled back up again. Because you were never meant to carry that burden by yourself. For his burden is light and his yoke is easy.
When you taste of something good, you want more of it.
Yeah.
Now, we know that he is good and that his love endures forever. But it's your choice to cover yourself.
Yeah.
It's your choice to allow his goodness to flow over you. And yeah, it'll stick to you. Yeah. It's not going to leave you, but that's exactly what you want because it tastes good. We're going to read this passage to close in Hosea chapter 2.
Before we read that, worship team, can you come ahead and go come up here?
She said, I will go after my lovers who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my olive oil and my drink. Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way.
Yes, come on.
She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but cannot find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now.
Yeah.
She said in her heart, that she would not go back to what was former, that which she thought was food and that which she thought was water. Other lovers did not satisfy. So I say to you today, don't wait for your provision that you've provided for yourself to run out before you taste and see that he is good today. In verse 14, therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. Therefore, I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of that old dead place. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from your lips. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds in the sky, and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land, so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. God desires to be in permanent, permanent union with you. He desires to lie you down in his safe pasture, to betroth you, not of the flesh, but in righteousness, peace, and in the Holy Spirit. And on this day, you will acknowledge the Lord. We read this as the final verse. I will plant her for myself in the land, and I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. And I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. Yes. Bringing it all the way back to the beginning. When Lot's wife looked behind, there was no land left to plant in. But when God brings you out, he wants to plant you. The dead man you left, well, he has no place to root down. But God will plant you in his land. A land not of the flesh, but of the sweet presence of his Spirit. So let's begin to pray.
Isn't it so good to hear what the Lord has to say through the body on these nights? As the brothers were sharing with us, Matthew 9, verse 19 came to mind. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. Now don't miss that, because you have some brothers in here that wear their tallits, their prayer shawls, and you see on the corners, on the four corners of, or each corner of the prayer shawl are tzitzits, which represent the commands of God. And so what's happening here is a woman who probably didn't have a husband is now reaching out and grabbing hold to the commands, which include the promises of our God. And unlike Lot's wife, who had a husband but looked back, a woman who did not look forward and grab hold of the commands and the promises of her God. For she said to herself, if only I could touch his garment, I will be made well. If only I could grab a hold to the commands, which include the promises of our God, of the Messiah, I would be made well. If only I could grab hold of them. If only I could take hold of them, be glued to them, be debunked. You know, I never realized wherever Dylan went. But when I walked up here, the honey that was poured all over him It looked like little strings of gold. It was glistening. I thought, wow, how prophetic. When you allow the promises and the commands of your God to cloak you and to run down, to envelop you, it's like you're being robed in royalty. If I could only touch the hem of his garment, I would be made well. And Jesus turned and seeing her said, take heart, daughter, for your faith has made you well. And instantly, she was made well. Wow. We've been challenged and hard pressed every single week studying through the seven churches of Asia Minor, digging into our hearts for the idolatry hanging out in the caverns of our heart and the contracts that we've made with other things other than Yeshua himself. And I'm pretty sure it's not just me, but many of us have found things that we've made agreements with that are not of God. Come on, Tex experienced that the other night. You see, that's what happens when you immerse yourself in your relationship with King Yeshua. The dross just comes to the top, and you could just be like doing your own, just like you are now. I just kind of came to church today. I'm sitting here and chilling. All of a sudden, boom, you're like, I don't even know where that came from. Somehow or another, something just rose to the top like dross, and it's time to just get rid of it so that I might be free. Stand with me. Stand with us tonight.